Blog Talk Radio.
Party and the Spirit of America Party book. We're coming up on the eve of Memorial Day, and I wanted to preempt the celebration with our own celebration and wish everybody a happy Memorial Day weekend, safe driving, and no overeating, no heart attacks. And just live the good life, the la boca a vita, and be cool, you know. Start your drinking late in the evening. This way, when you get to the bar, all the guys are drunk and you can have your pick of the girls. Okay, that's a little tip from Tom, the Avenger, the love Avenger. Okay, and also, if you're ever dating a girl, like a double date with you and a buddy, and you go to a strange neighborhood that you're not familiar, and you take them out for drinks, and they bring you to the bar that they hang out in, there's two avenues of escape should bad karma befall you. One is be close to the exit door, and or be close to the ladies' room. Because when it breaks out and they stop dancing around the fire, all these guys, and they're looking to hurt you, if you get into the ladies' room first and the girls come in after, and then the girls will hold the guys off, and that'll give you time to change clothes with the girls so you can escape as a woman. Yeah, that's another tip. And if you really want to pick up the hot chicks, and no matter how ugly you are, this always works. Get a Boy Scout uniform and go into the bar or the nightclub and just tell the girls that you're a millionaire Boy Scout. And they will love the fact that you're a tenderfoot. And then you can tell them, you know, I have etchings in my apartment of Indian lore. And teddy bears. I collect teddy bears, and they'll drop whoever they're with, and they'll go right with you to your apartment. As a matter of fact, there's a story about a guy who collected teddy bears, and he had his target for the evening up to show his teddy bear collection, and he took her into the bedroom, and he had six rows of teddy bears. You know, the most beautiful ones on the top, you know, and all the way down he had a fine collection of teddy bears. And he made love to her. And when he was when they were finished, she said to them, "How was that for you?" And he said, "You can have any teddy bear on the bottom two rows." Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Male chauvinist pig strikes again. Oh, those were the good old days when men were free. Yeah. The only lawyer we knew was if you had a bicycle accident. Yeah. If somebody stole your bicycle, you could go to a lawyer. And he would spend 40 hours getting your bicycle back and charge you $10. Oh, those were the good old days when America was free. Now we're all chumps. We're all chumps. The government is sucking us dry. They talk about vampires. Do you know if you went to any college and asked anybody who Abe Lincoln was, you know what they would tell you? He freed the vampires. Every week, on two different channels, they got Abraham Lincoln, the vampire slayer. I've seen one movie of Abraham Lincoln, the guy who freed the slaves. Yes. And brought our country through a terrible rift and split. And he was a humble man, a very humble man. Even when he was in office, he was still paying off debts that he incurred in business. Like Harry Truman. You know that when Harry Truman left office, he still had a mortgage on his house. Probably the mortgage was $20,000. And the house was worth $24,000. Now you got the governor of Virginia buying the Clintons their home in Chappaqua, and they got Dinesh D'Souza for $20,000. Can you believe that? You don't think that the IRS is in the pockets of the Communist Party, formerly the Democrat Party? They went and got Dinesh D'Souza for $20,000 worth of illegal campaign of funds. This is the same people that passed a law that said that only they could do insider trading, and anybody else that did would get 20 years in jail. But the House and the Senate, they could do insider trading. I call it tradering. So this week, one of the corporate officers of SAC, S-A-C, which is a hedge fund, one of the most successful hedge fund companies in the world. I think the owner gets like $3.5 billion as a bonus. Eat your heart out, VA workers. And one of his top men got caught inside trading, and he was fined $25 million, and he's going away. I think he's only gone away for a couple of years. He must have paid off some politicians. You can own a politician. You got money, you got a politician in your pocket. Oh, that can't be. This is the land of the free. No, it's the land of the freaks and the home of the broke. And we're the ones who are broke. And the politicians are lining their pockets. So going back to inside tradering, the people raised the stink that the criminals in the House and the Senate were getting away with inside trading, yet stockbrokers couldn't do it without going to jail. So the House and the Senate said, okay, you caught us. You caught us. We're going to rescind that law. And they did. They rescinded the law for 30 days, and then they reinstated it when nobody was looking. You think you're living in the land of the free? You're living in the land of the freaks. Yeah. Sad, isn't it? Memorial Day is coming up. We're paying a tribute to 0.5%. That's all that defend this nation, that keep us from being throat cut in our beds. And we show no love, no compassion. And think about this. This big VA scandal, which is Obama's fault and Shinseki's fault, and everybody that went along with the program, including John McCain, who is from Arizona, and he's been coming from Arizona for at least 30, 40 years, and he's not aware of anything that went on in the VA hospitals. When you get to the top, it's all the same smelly people. Yeah. How is your library coming, Bill? Oh, just as good as yours, George. Yeah, a library. That's what we need. It is sad. Now, you see the treatment these these vets are getting at the VA? What makes you think that under Obamacare you're going to get any better treatment? The vets will now get better treatment because everybody's been caught red-handed and everybody's embarrassed. But I don't give McCain a pass. He's from Arizona, and there's two things that he didn't fight all the years he led the people of Arizona to Washington, D.C., and had his picture taken with Feingold, McCain Feingold. Remember that? Feingold was a flag burner. This guy likes hanging around with flag burners. Mitch McConnell was a flag burner. I call him Match McConnell. 8 Republicans joined 40 Democrats to vote to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. And you know what? You can't find that record today. That's a broken record. Because it didn't pass. The Flag Desecration Act didn't pass, so the Democrats shelved it. And the list is hidden from the public. But just before they shelved it, I got a copy of the list. And you wouldn't believe there were 8 Republicans. 2 of them are Match McConnell and Thad Cochran from Mississippi. He has to go. He can't be trusted. Match is going to win because he's got Rhino money behind him. And in his district, the Tea Party competitor was outspent 20 to 1. For every million he came up with, Match came up with 20 million. And that's why I say the largest champagne contribution you can make to a corrupt politician is $1. Whether you're GE or your Cadillac Escalade recalling your autos back to the Shanghai dealership. Yeah, the Escalade is made in China. That's what I hear. Check it out. Google it, man. We all have to know what's going on. My monitor is going to sleep. Oh, we're back. Okay. So, did I say enough? You want to go back for a tune or you want to get some headlines? Let's do headlines. There's a Shubat newsletter. This guy has got his hand on the pulse in the Middle East. He's also an anti-Muslim terrorist, and he used to be in the Muslim Brotherhood. He converted to Christianity because love is greater than hate, and it's more enjoyable. And he gives you straight scoop. So we're going to do him last. We're going to just do some topics off the top. Ben Carson explains slavery to David Gregory. And David Gregory is one of the best comedians I ever heard. The only trouble is he's a racist, and he hates white people. And he's probably very heavily influenced by the Communist Party. Unfortunately, if the United States falls, the Russians will not take him in. And here's Good Morning America kills James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe is from Project Veritas. James O'Keefe is the guy that caught, was it Planned Parenthood, encouraging underage girls to have abortions? I know he did a big expose. I don't know if it was Acorn or Planned Parenthood. And this is what they're saying. Good Morning America kills James O'Keefe. Oh, yeah, you know what he's done? A segment on Hollywood Sting. He went to Hollywood and he caught a lot of communist actors raw and uncensored. And he caught him out in the open. Here's what it says. News broke yesterday on the Hollywood Reporter website of O'Keefe's latest project, a sting operation designed to expose the corrupt and collaborative world of A-list Hollywood stars, producers, and progressive NGOs and nonprofits like MoveOn.org. MoveOn.org is controlled by George Soros. I have a website that I put up to compete against George Soros. It's called MoveAway.org. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is, MoveAway.org. And it tells you, when you go there, it tells you how bad communism is and how long it's been operating. That effectively make up a Hollywood environmental lobby. Oh, this is the Greenpeace communists. Jimmy from Brooklyn calls them enviro-Leninists. They don't care about the environment. They just want to break this country. They don't want any more people in it that are American, but they'll take anybody that's not. In this case, O'Keefe's investigators offered this Hollywood environmental lobby millions of dollars from a fictional oil sheik to produce an anti-fracking movie. Oh, that's going to be good. What else would you expect? Here's some comments. The Obama ass-kissing journalists are not going to allow any of his communist minions to be harmed in any way by adverse publicity. They're not a journalist. They're entertainers. Would you believe Donald Duck or MSNBC? Same difference. Quack, quack, crap. They have no honor. They would sell out their country for money. I hope that's not true, because I'll tell you something. A lot of them have been accused of selling their mothers, but I can guarantee you that on Mother's Day, they take the for sale sign off her back. So they're not all bad. Once a year, they love their mother. Yeah, as long as there's photographers around. They're all subversives. McCarthy was right about these people. Oh, how they hated McCarthy. They made movies about Joe McCarthy. Do you know Joe McCarthy had nothing to do with Hollywood? Hollywood was so paranoid because they were catching communists left and right in Hollywood. They were just being exposed. It was like, you know, you pick up today's paper and there's another communist from Hollywood. Yeah, and the blacklist came out. They got 10 communists, a big deal. Yeah, and Joe McCarthy had better things to do. He was looking for communists in the military. So, having said that, we will go back to AOL Mail, and we'll hit some more headlines. Let's see what we got. Ben Carson, I said that one already. Ben Carson is good. I got to tell you, Obama ruined chances for good black people to get in positions of power. Nobody will trust another black after Obama. I'm sorry. I'm telling you the way it is. Believe me, I was one of the first guys that said blacks got to get together and they got to support each other and they got to open up their own businesses and they got to grow. And sadly, they did, but it's all in drugs and it's all in crap movies. And a terrible entertainment, man. Terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Rap music is crap music. They sing about the ghetto. Give me a break, man. I was born in the ghetto. But we didn't call it a ghetto. You know why? Because the Democrats hadn't got there yet with drugs. I just came from a poor neighborhood. But we didn't know we were poor. You know why? We were too busy working. And welfare was a bag of flour. Food stamps. A stamp was 3 cents, and that was the only stamp you could get. And it was a postage stamp. Yeah. Now we've created a communist utopia in this country, and nobody knows they're working for the communists. 51% of the country is communist, but only, out of that 51%, only 20% know that they're true communists. The other 31%, they have no idea. They did a survey at a college, and they asked about 6 students. They gave them the name of a popular tune. Everybody knew who the singer was. And then they asked them about, what's Benghazi? Only one guy came close saying it was in the Middle East. One girl said, he's a guy that works at my gym. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. We're going to be like 911, running away from the big cloud, in panic, crying. We're not ready for anything. In the 50s, we were ready for a nuclear attack, more than we are ready today. I called on a guy in Malone, New York. He was an auto parts jobber. They were building the St. Lawrence Seaway. He bought a pipe that they were building up there in those, at the, for the St. Lawrence Seaway, and he made a fallout shelter for his family in his backyard. And that's how prepared he was for a nuclear strike, and that was when SAC was in its prime. Okay? And he was ready. Today, the only ones that are ready are those the people they make fun of. The ones they're going to have to attack to take their food away. We're not ready for any. Can you carry your mattress over the George Washington Bridge? You don't think you're going to be on the run? You think that the Russian, because you grew a beard, the Iranians won't kill you? Yeah. Speaking of beards, here's a little history. 60% of all generals that fought in the, all officers that fought in the Civil War wore beards. So beards are coming back. You see those guys that the Duck Dynasty, they all got beards. Maybe they know something we don't know, huh? Okay, check out In Bad Taste, 9/11 Museum. Opening Danny Meyer Restaurant. It's all about the money. They don't give a crap about anybody. They have no sensitivity. 9/11's museum's appetite for crass commercialism. The guy who was running it is an animal. The guy that owns the center is an animal. He's a money-hungry animal. He was fighting the insurance companies to get paid for two buildings, and the insurance company only wanted to pay him for one. Yeah. And he held out for 11 years until he got what he wanted. The public be damned. The public to be taken advantage of. The 9/11 Museum's appetite for crass commercialism will be satisfied with an 80-seat restaurant inside the memorial's allegedly a solemn grounds. You won't be able to. They showed pictures of the souvenir shop. You could go in there. I'd love to go in there and say, "Hello there, dear. You know what? Have you got the Goethe cross? You know the cross that from the disaster." Oh, no, we're not selling any crosses here. Do you have a Koran? Yes. Oh, yes, we have a Koran. Do you have a Muslim box cutter? Oh, yes, we have plenty of box cutters. Yeah. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. Yeah, we lost our country. We lost our kick God out. The Democrat Party kicked God out at the last convention. You don't believe that? Go to YouTube. You want to know something else? Go to YouTube and Google Michelle Obama. All this for a flag. All this for a flag? That's right, Michelle. All this for a flag. As hard as you tried with your 40 demo camos to burn the flag of the United States. We lost by one vote, and if it comes up again, I believe in 2014, we will be able to make flag desecration punishable by death. Yeah. Those flags, those coffins come back draped in an American flag, and anybody who disrespects it should be hanged, drawn, and quartered, or at least half-dollared. The menu is expecting to offer an array of local seasonal fare. We're not doing this for crass or commercial reasons, said Meyer, adding that a portion of proceeds are going back to the museum. What is that? So whose pockets is that going into? Yeah, going back to the museum. And yeah, and of course, I'm in charge of the museum, and I'm getting a salary equal to the salary that the head of the Red Cross makes, $875,000. And the head of the Salvation Army only makes $24,000. You tell me who's serving God and who's serving the people. So, Before the 911 museum was open to the general public on Wednesday morning, first responders and family had been allowed inside for advanced looks since last Thursday night, but they were turned away at the door early because only VIPs, who included a former 16-ounce Mayor Michael Bloomberg. You know, he used to do inspections in subway restrooms. He used to show up with his 16-ounce task force when he'd have a beaker and he'd follow guys into the urinals. And if they were over 16 ounces, they went right to jail. Yeah. And he would bring the evidence in on his coat. Unbelievable, man. What a piece of crap. This guy denied Rudy Giuliani a third term, and then he voted to give himself one. This guy appointed the Communist Council that ruled it would be okay to build a mosque across the street from 911. Yes, the mosque, we already got a mosque. It's the World Trade Center, built by deeply religious Muslims, 19 of them, who cut the throats of pilots and stewardesses. Yeah, that's another thing they could sell at the souvenir shop. Stewardesses' hands tied together in prayer. That would be a good one. Field said that Tuesday's closed-door catered event could have been held at any number of spaces in the neighborhood. I understand the need to raise money. There should be no eating. Here's the comments. No eating in this museum is a memorial for people who died. You want to do something for the people who died there? Do something for the 200 babies that died with their pro-life mothers. Do something for those people. Name those babies. Contact the relatives of those mothers who died with their children and name them and put those names on the wall next to their mothers. And if you don't know if it was a boy or a girl, take a guess. Well, you can't expect a Bloomberg to be around common people, do you? After all, he's putting up $50 million to attack the First Amendment. He is no good. He's a POS. He's a colonel in the POS division. Yeah, unbelievable, man. What a rat. Ratty bird. You know he's got a tail? Did you know that? And his teeth, he has to gnaw on something all the time, otherwise his teeth will grow over his jaw, and he will starve to death. And he's also against salt. Yeah, this guy, he did nothing. Mr. Bicycle, you know that they're stealing all the bicycles. People are taking the bicycles and not bringing them back. Is these people, these government jerks, they have nothing better to do. Okay. So, latest Obama trick for illegal aliens. Yeah, anybody but an American. Yeah, and they got a picture of a Mexican flag over an upside-down American flag. How's that? Our vengeance must be swift. Top Democrat negotiator Louis Guterres, a Democrat communist from Illinois. You know what? I think if you check the Socialist Party website, you will see this guy's name. One of 70 congressmen who are communists and acknowledged by the Socialist Party of the USA. They've listed all 70. And that's 70 that will admit that they're communists. Can you imagine how many more there are that are undercover? Recently, the Obama administration announced it would stop deporting illegal aliens. You know, this is not our problem. The communists made it our problem. This is Mexico's problem. These are Mexican citizens. These are the property of Mexico and should be returned forthwith. And they entered the United States as children. Yeah, you don't think that was the deliberate plan? The communists will pull at your heartstrings, and then they will eat your heart out. And they'll execute those children. They do 4,700 a day right now. You think they're checking to see if any of them are illegal? No, they're just killing 4,700 kids. They're assuming they're American, but they don't have to be. Planned Parenthood kills 3,000 kids a day. 1,200 white babies, 1,100 black babies, and 700 Latino niños. And nobody gives two Shiites. Guterres wants the order extended to all 20 million illegals. It's not 20 million, my friends. It's probably more like 50. They're telling you it's 20. They're telling you it's like 9 or 10, and then they're admitting to 20, but it's more like 50. I had five guys doing my lawn the other day. Yeah, and we were all singing Guadalajara together. Guadalajara, Guadalajara. You know what that song is? That's the Mexican No Quarter call. They played it at the Alamo just before they wiped everybody out. We may be the next Alamo. Obama and the Democrats are pushing hard for amnesty. They're not Democrats. They're communists. They kicked God off the party platform. They're atheists. They're baby killers. They're drug pushers. They're evil people. They want to take your guns away so they can kill you in front of your family. There is too much at risk for them politically. The repercussions of granting amnesty are devastating, yet Obama has the audacity to tell Americans it's good for our economy, the economy that he's destroying. You take a look at all those deep water oil rigs that under the British Petroleum fiasco and shakedown of $15 billion plus campaign contributions. They took those deep water oil rigs, that was their excuse, to move them down to Brazil. And then they took your Social Security money, if you had any left, and they loaned it to the government of Brazil to drill in deep water oil for the Chinese. So this was a 100% outgoing non-benefit to the United States. And who did it? The red crayon boy. Yes, he draws a line with his red crayon in his coloring book. Yep. So in 2012, Obama won 71% of the Latino vote. You ever see what they do with immigration when people are becoming naturalized citizens? You ever hear the speech they give? You go to New York and sit in on one. Sit in on a swearing-in of new American citizens. Listen to the propaganda that they tell the new American citizens. Because of their color, the white man hates them. Imagine that from a government official representing the United States of America. You don't think that happens? It happens in the schools. Kindergarten in my neighborhood is doing a little presentation. The first song they're going to sing is in Spanish. Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you know if instead of Obama phone, we gave out Rosetta Stone, in 3 weeks everybody could be speaking English? Okay, here's one. Bucking deputies of Benghazi. Nancy Pelosi picks the five to go on the panel. The five to go on the panel. Okay. It's looking for the five. Let's see if we can find them. Representative Tammy Duckworth, she's a Democrat. She is missing two legs. A decorated and severely wounded combat veteran of the Iraq War. Tammy, come on over. We're more friendly. We are. We won't hang you out to dry. And I saw her. She went after somebody at a hearing. She was very good. She's just in the wrong party. Representative Nancy Pelosi of California, disregarding some of her closest lieutenants in the Democratic leadership, appointed a full slate of House Democrats on Wednesday to a special committee investigating the 2012 attack and a cowardice in the face of the enemy in Benghazi, Libya. And you see what they're doing in Libya tonight. They're evacuating. They're going to evacuate the American embassy. and they're sending 250 Marines to do the job, plus six Osprey helicopters, plus gunships, and they'll have a whole fleet off of the shore, but for four guys, all they got was a dial tone and a busy signal. What phony bastards. And when they go into Benghazi, you're going to find out that they moved guns, the Turks were involved, the Syrians were involved, the Muslim Brotherhood was involved, and advisors to the president were involved, and they still got their jobs in the White House. The move gives legitimacy to a committee that many Democrats have dismissed as an election year partisan stunt. It is no stunt. To find out who murdered the four Americans, and I got to tell you one more time, there was a survivor on that rooftop and nobody knows his name. There was a survivor on that rooftop and he came back to the States and they put him under close observation. They moved him from hospital to hospital. They changed his name with every move. They gave him lie detector tests and they made him sign an NCND that he could not disclose anything that took place. You tell me that's an open and above board a government that you got running this show. It is sad. I'm going to see if I can do some research while I play some tunes, and I'll see if I can find the name of that guy, because he's key. He is key to it. Okay. And here are the five that they're putting up there. Elijah Cummings of Maryland. He's no good. He is a spoiler and a troublemaker, and he is a blocker. He's a front linebacker for the Communist Party. Adam Smith of Washington, and he's a top Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, God help the troops. Adam Schiff of California, he's already calling it a cover-up, and he's a member of the Intelligence Committee, and Tammy Duckworth, she's the only decent one. And man, they're going to be putting a lot of pressure on her to turn rat, but I don't think she'll do it. When she looks down at her legs, she's going to be thinking twice. Who does this twit think she can overstep? Trey Gowdy, and appoint her on a select members to the investigation committee. They were going to put this, what's his name, Alan Grayson, a real nut job, a psycho man. And he was looking forward to getting on a committee and destroying it. You're up against the Communist Party. You start playing checkers with these guys. They're going to king you. you can't negotiate with communists. Communists love coalitions. They end up taking over. You cannot negotiate with communists. You're dealing with communists. If you think you're dealing with Democrats, you're going to lose. Because you're not going to play hardball. They are playing hardball. Apparently, so I guess we will see these guys lodged in a nice hotel and dining on the taxpayers' dime. Oh, they do that all the time. It's her job. Minority leader picks his or her party. Yeah, that's true. The question I would ask Obama and Hillary is, why did you freaking idiots have your own Americans murdered? Why not? They murdered them all the time. Gosh, surprised to see she passed on Grayson. He was so willing. Lots of laughs. That's not funny, man. He would have turned it into a fiasco. If I was her, I would tell ugly Pelosi to kiss my, and then there's a dash. You and Obama's people are the ones that tried to kill me. You and Obama armed with your, you know what? I want to see the blood clot records. I want to see Hillary Clinton's medical records. I want to see what meds were prescribed for her. I want to see the CAT scan results. Because, first of all, Karl Rove is wrong. She had no brain damage because she landed on her head. Yeah, it's sad, man. Dirty Democrat Party. Elijah Cummings, besides the fact that he's a mental midget, he has his nose so far up Obozo's butt, Obozo can probably see it in his mirror. Isn't he also under investigation by Congress? Colossal turd is not interested in facts. He's just a grandstander. He'll be there playing the race card. This guy, when he shows up with his race cards, he's got a shoe. There's three decks in the shoe. And they're all race cards. Tammy Duckworth, I hope you do the right thing, honey. I hope you remember how you got those legs. And I hope you remember who the enemy is. And God bless you. And look out for our vets. You should be in charge of the Veterans Administration. And I got to tell you something. If I was president, every ambassador in the world representing the United States would be a vet in a wheelchair. None of these guys that are buying seats in England and France and in Japan. They appointed Caroline Kennedy. She doesn't even know how to say arigato. Yeah, what a bunch of phony bastards. And what an insult to people who are looking to meet real Americans. You're never going to meet a real American. Not unless you have vets in wheelchairs in every embassy. And how long would it take them to learn the job? About 2 weeks. Okay, you've done such a good job. I got to reward you. I have to reward you. Oh, man. It looks like I've lost my... They do this to me all the time. It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. I'm going to do Blog Talk Radio. We'll go out. I'll give you a whole bunch of music. You'll enjoy yourself. You'll be happy. You'll be looking forward to a nice weekend. And I got a flashback today. I was thinking about the time I served my country. And the 4th Armored Division, the 50th Infantry, stationed in Erlangen, Germany, in a mortar platoon. And we used to, when we first got to Germany, one of our first nights out on the town, you know, we went to a guest house and had the ladies of the evening. And that German beer put you right to sleep. But, the German girls, you know, they spoke broken English, and they would say, where are you from? I say, I'm from New York. Oh, you're big shot. Then they asked this guy from Chicago, where are you from? He says, I'm from Chicago. I said, you're a pussy gangster. Oh, man. And who would ever think that, you know, cats would be gangsters? I have no idea. But, let me find Blog Talk Radio, and I got a kick when we got there, you know, we're serving our country. It's peacetime, but the Russian threat is real big. So I said, how big is the Russian threat, Sarge? He says, well, it's really not that big because we can defend. Our job is to defend against the, to protect the civilians, American civilians, living on the bases with, you know, with their sergeant husbands and their officers and wives and their families. And what we're going to do is we're going to fight a delaying action. We're going to stop the Russians at the Fulda Gap. I says, well, you know, how many divisions we got, Sarge? He goes, we got 13. And I said, how many did the Russians have? He says, they got about 330, but theirs are smaller. So I said, okay, well, you know, we could hold them off. You know, we're Americans. He goes, yeah, no problem. He says, what we're going to do is they're going to have to come from Czechoslovakia, and they're going to have to come in through the Fulda Gap. Once they're in the Fulda Gap, that's a killing field. We're going to nuke them. Hey, Sarge, that's great. That's fantastic. You're going to drop a nuke on them when they're in the Fulda Gap. He goes, yeah, but there's only one problem. You're in the fallout area. We're in the fallout area, so we're going too. Yeah, thanks, Sarge. Unbelievable. But you live and learn, man. You never know what's going on. You never know what's going on. Look at this, what's really sad. Look at this Snowden. They're treating him as a hero. They're doing cartoons about him, how he saved the country by getting at least 100 people killed that we don't know about. You don't think that his information got anybody killed? You know what you should do? You should go talk to that Pakistani doctor who fingered bin Laden and ask him, did he ever get his reward money? Of course, you have to go to a Pakistani prison and of course, try and talk to him while he's not having his feet beaten. Yeah. America never stands by its allies. Never. Never. I'm sorry, man. You don't believe me? Ask the Hungarians in 1950. We just don't see the light.
I never cared much for moonlit skies, never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. Now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark. That's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine, I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I never cared much for moonlit skies, I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. And I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on a mistletoe. Now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. You know I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and lit that spark. That's a four-alarm fire now. I never made and shine. Never saw rainbows in my wine. Now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light.
Okay, I found it. Benghazi attack survivor waited on a rooftop for 20 hours before help came. Diplomatic Security Agent David Ubben, U-B-B-E-N, remember the name, David Ubben, has been receiving treatment at Walter Reed Military Medical Center after being severely wounded on September the 11th, 2012. And that's how long the Clintons and the Obamians have been delaying this investigation. When the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was attacked by terrorists, according to Fox News, Ubben waited for help on top of a roof for 20 hours. What difference does waiting that long make the lives of two Navy SEALs? During the second wave of attacks on Benghazi, the second wave, and there was a lull between waves, and now they're talking about the rescue mission that's going to go to the American embassy in Libya. I think it's probably Tripoli. And that it's going to take them 2 hours to get there from Sigonella Air Force Base in Italy. During the second wave of attacks on Benghazi, David Ubben was on the rooftops with the Navy SEALs. Eventually, several rounds of mortar attacks found their mark, killing Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty while shredding David Ubin's right leg. Ubben was stuck on the rooftop for 20 hours before help arrived. Now, who was the help that arrived? It was probably locals that were hired. The House Oversight Committee is planning to hold a series of hearings about this in the fall. During the last oversight hearing about the attack, the Obama administration's entire narrative about what happened that night was blown out of the water by State Department whistleblower Gregory Hicks. Hicks was in Tripoli the night of the attack and was the last person to speak to Chris Stevens before he was killed. And if you look at the picture of Chris Stevens being carried with the guy with the cell phone in his mouth, he was still alive, according to the, if you look at the photo. And why do I say that? Because his muscles were holding up his head. Now, you just heard all the information that you will ever hear about this guy, David Eubin. David Eubin, just remember that name, David Eubin, because somebody is going to drag him to a hearing. And I believe there was rumors that they were given all of the witnesses lie detector tests every day to make sure that they hadn't spoken to anybody. This is a complete cover-up. And the video, you know that, when I heard about that video that was made, the anti-Muslim video about the Prophet Muhammad, I immediately went to YouTube to see the video. Okay? You know what number I was? They have a count on how many viewers there are. I was number 57. All right? Nobody knew about that video. There's a good way to expose the liberals. They're not liberals. Don't say liberal. You got to say communist, man. Until you can own up, fess up that these liberals, these Democrats, they're all communists. They're all communists, and they're everywhere. They're like the Ebola virus. They're eating us up. Yeah, nobody is talking about this. David Eubin. Let me see if we can find. I'll give you another tune, and we'll see if we can find David Eubin more information. I'll give you a Brazilian tonight. This is a nice tune. It's done by a group called Art Popular, and the name of the tune is Bombacaro. And that in Brazilian means American chicks are nice looking too.
Como um bom bocado pra te devorar. Brigadeiro pra te lambuzar. Põe a mão no bolo pra comemorar. Dança o meio-dia pra te conquistar. O violeiro toca e se toca. De olho no chifre da morena. A que zoeira, que festa de arromba. Põe essa galera pra samba. É debaixo da saia que eu vou. É debaixo da saia.
Saia que eu vou, é debaixo da saia que eu tô, é debaixo que eu vou.
saia que eu vou, é debaixo da saia que eu tô, é debaixo que eu vou ficar, só pra te olhar. Ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai, ai.
Okay. All right. So here's what I did. I went and I Googled David Rubin, Benghazi survivor. And I'm looking at all of the blogs about him are in July of 2013. So I picked the last blog to look at first, July the 31st, and these are some of the comments. Was Benghazi survivor David Rubin GRS or DSS? Part of the expansion of the CIA's paramilitary capabilities, GRS units are secret security forces created after the September 11th of 2001 attacks. 10 years later, they're not ready. The two greatest weaknesses of the American government are intelligence and the ability to negotiate. Ty Woods and Glenn Doherty were both members of the CIA's GRS, an organization that has recruited hundreds of former U.S. Special Forces operatives and veterans of police department SWAT teams to serve as armed guards to provide a layer of security for CIA officers and high-risk outposts whose counterterrorism assignments carry a level of risk. Was David Rubin working for a GRS as a contractor? What does it matter? He was there. He's a witness. Let him tell us what he knows. It looks like Fox is the only one that covered this in July. In the so-called U.S. consulate, it was a beach house, my friends. I looked at it. It was a beach house. It was 6 blocks from the beach, and we couldn't get a little dinghy up on the beach to rescue these people, because there was no Navy in sight. The closest aircraft carrier was, I think, between Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Rubin helped recover the dead body of Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith. Imagine Hillary having a picture taken with this guy, and now she's saying, what does it matter how they died? Huh? Do you think when he had his picture taken with her, he believed that she would get him killed? Remember how jolly she was with her girls when Gaddafi was sodomized and beat to death before a bullet in his head? Do you remember that? We came, we saw, we killed him, and they all giggled. They giggled like little girls. So what do you think happened? What do you think the Al-Qaeda is saying about the American ambassador? We came and we saw, we did the same thing we did to Gaddafi. Giggle, giggle. He was fighting the terrorists from the roof of the CIA annex alongside Ty Woods and Glenn Doherty, the two former Navy SEALs who were killed that night. And they show the consulate and they show the annex, and they're very close together. So if they're coming to Benghazi evacuate the consulate, that's interesting. It really is. You're going to be sick when you find out how quick they could have gotten there and saved the lives of those guys. And don't forget that those guys laser painted the mortar platoon that was setting up. So a fighter jet or a C-130 could have taken them out. Definitely a fighter jet. Between 1930 and 2030, so that's 7:30 in American time, you know, in civilian time, and 8:30, Ambassador Christopher Stevens met Turkish Consul General Ali Akin Said. Now, why would he be meeting in a far-off place like Benghazi with the Turkish ambassador, Turkish general counsel, because they were doing a deal to move guns to fight the war in Syria. The Turks are heavily involved in Syria. They got a stake in the game. Oh, by the way, in the Crimea, the Russian stake in the game, Crimea has oil reserves. It's all about the oil. Yes, when America goes to war, the communists will tell you it's all about oil. But when Russia goes to war, they tell you it's all about honor and justice. And going back to Snowden, he's a traitor and should be executed upon apprehension. I don't want to hear he was a hero because he protected our amendments. In bullshit. He's a traitor. And he deserves two behind the ear. And then the American and all this Mickey Mouse crap about bad drugs taking too long to kill people in prison who have been given the death penalty for horrendous crimes. Go back to the rifle. Go back to the bullet. It's over in 30 seconds. Then the and it's a nice clean kill. You know, everybody's happy. And then the except the guy that's taking the bullets there. And then the American escorted the Turk to the door to say goodbye. Everything is calm at 8:30 p.m. There's nothing unusual. No, just photographers, Al-Qaeda photographers. Do you mind if you could you pose by this hole in the wall here? I just want to get a little shot before we come in to take the big shot. According to a briefing from the U.S. State Department, I don't trust the State Department, it's a mini U.N. That's all the State Department is. It's a mini U.N. And I told you what to do with ambassadors. Replace them with vets in wheelchairs. But Associated Press AP reported a testimony from neighbors, Libyans in Benghazi, living next to the compound, according to which there were 150 bearded gunmen sealing off the streets leading to the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. They set up roadblocks with pickup trucks mounted with heavy machine guns. According to witnesses, the trucks bore the logo of Ansar al-Sharia, a powerful local group of Islamist militants who worked with the municipal government to manage security in Benghazi. The neighbors all described activists who put up checkpoints around the enclosure to about 8 p.m. They let the Turkish General Consul get out. They had inside information, I'm sure. And they were watching intently, and they knew who the Turkish General Consul was. That's my opinion. The Turkish Consul General had to go through the blockade as he left the vicinity of the compound, and the attack began as soon as he went through. Where is that Turk, by the way? Any news? According to State Department's Charlene R. Lamb, a diplomatic security agent working for the Tactical Operations Center. Yeah, in like a lion, out like a lamb. Activated immediately the imminent danger. She activated the imminent danger notification system as soon as the attack began. Yes, what do you do? Well, we can only get the messages up to the sixth floor because Hillary's on the seventh and she doesn't want to be disturbed. Is that 3 a.m. phone call, Hillary? The blood clot queen? With the phony blood clot? David Newman was among the agents who pulled out the dead body of Sean Smith and rushed it into the armored vehicle that brought them back to the CIA annex. Ubin was involved in both buildings' attacks. Ty Woods was already at the CIA annex. Doherty had flown from Tripoli to Benghazi with three others in a private plane. That's how quick they scrambled. You don't know any of this because I'm just learning it, and I'm bird-dogging this story all the time. Glenn Doherty had arrived in Libya one day earlier, working with a team of CIA security contractors, GRS, Global Response Staff. They heard the news that the mission was under attack, and a team of four of them rushed in to help. They charted a flight as quickly as possible by showing up at the airport and convincing a pilot to fly them to Benghazi for $30,000. In Benghazi, they were frustratingly detained while negotiating with the right militias to reach where they wanted to go. They knew that the battle was raging and had now shifted from the temporary mission to the annex. As soon as they could, they hired a car to rush them to the annex, arriving at 5 a.m. At the annex, they joined the fight. Glenn fired on attackers from a defensive position inside. He heard that Ty was directing the defensive operation from the roof and went to join him on the fortified roof. Glenn hugged Ty, who gave him a hearty endorsement in introducing him to two other men up there, one GRS and one DSS, Department of State Security. Enemy mortars bracketed the building over and under, shooting it before three struck at the roof in quick succession. The first killed Ty and critically injured the other GRS agent. The second killed Glenn instantly. Each of the three severely injured the DSA agent. It was shortly after 6 a.m. at this time, I got to tell you, these hearings are going to be good. And Trey Gowdy, if he's half the man I think he is, man, he's going to be outlining this stuff minute by minute. It was shortly after 6 a.m. at this point. Readings from an unarmed drone. An unarmed drone? How do you know it was unarmed? That's what the liars told you. I'll bet you it was armed. Suggested that 100 more militants were on the move towards them. The decision was made to evacuate everyone to the airport. The two others wounded on the roof remain very severely injured but are recovering. So there's more than just David Ubin. David Ubin was one of them. We don't know yet if he was DSS or GRS. Oh, man. Who cares who he was working for? We want to know the story. We want his opinion. We want to know if he feels he was sold out. I'd like to hear the last words of the guys who died. I'd like to know what their comments were. I'll bet you they weren't pretty. Okay, now, Glenn Doherty was a GRS contractor on his second CIA assignment in Libya. He'd served in other places, including Mexico City. Wonder if there's any gun running involved there from Eric Bagholder. He wasn't there to protect an embassy. He was there to recover RPGs, said Doherty's sister. He was providing security for CIA teams tracking Libyan stockpiles of weapons. If Obama hadn't gone to Libya, Muammar Gaddafi would have died in either a revolution or of old age, and none of his weapons would be in the hands of al-Qaeda today. So it was a complete farce and failure. And Hillary Clinton is no general. And Barack Obama never served his country, and he isn't serving it today either. Part of the expansion of the CIA's paramilitary capabilities, it's all Mickey Mouse talk. They failed. Ty Woods and Glenn, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Ain't about blaming nobody, but about mapping what happened so to understand better what is going on now. And easy. This guy says, Obama, the undocumented Muslim, left Americans behind. Why? Obama is not American, never was. And they got a picture of Obama holding his crotch while Hillary and the governor of New Mexico and Tom Hawkins' wife are on the stage in front of a big American flag, and everybody's got their hands over their heart except for Obama. And he's got his hands on his crotch. Yeah. Oh, I see. Maybe that's where his heart is, huh? Thank you for the enlightenment. I stand corrected. What was I thinking? Okay. Impeachment file on Benghazi coward. That is cowardice in the face of the enemy. He is the commander-in-chief. Formerly known as Barry Sotero, currently a legal citizen of the sovereign nation of Indonesia. Now, let me ask you something. If we go to Harvard and demand the records of Obama bin Laden, and we open up those records and he's listed as an Indonesian citizen, should we close Harvard for aiding and abetting the enemy? I'm for that. I'd like to see that. Quote from Diana West, who exchanged with the Turk. Here is what Ali Akin Said wrote. Facts. I arrive at the U.S. consulate at 6:30 at night, and our meeting ended at 7:30. At 7:45, we left the premises completely. The venue and hour of the meeting was fixed by Chris. When I was there and left the area, there was nothing abnormal. There were no roadblocks, no armed men, nothing extraordinary or suspicious. I left my car with two security guards in it in front of the consulate in the middle of the road for an hour. On that evening, neither Chris nor me was worried about our security. Basically, we did not perceive such a threat for that day. He was relaxed. Among the issues, we also mentioned the general security situation in Benghazi, and Chris said he was aware of deteriorating security situation here in general, and as a caution, he preferred to stay at the consulate rather than going out to restaurants, mentioning what happened to a convoy of the British ambassador in Benghazi several months ago. I agreed and confirmed his view. I was informed by Turkish police advisor in the UN mission in Benghazi about the attack at 2200 hours. That's 10 o'clock at night. We all thought and told it was a protest against the movie. Just as the one in Cairo. I did not realize until the next morning how it was serious and deadly. You're a very lucky man. I do not think it was an attack against Ambassador Stevens. I do not think that they knew he was there. If they had known, they would not have left him there. Me, personally, I did not know there was an annex. U.S. diplomats are very discreet about their security arrangements, and we respect that due to the threats they are faced. So that's from the ambassador who met with him, for what it's worth. They waited 20 hours for medical help for that guy. I don't know how they rescued him. They must have thought that those people that fired those mortars must not have even bothered to check and see who was alive and who was dead. They assumed everybody on the rooftop was dead. They got a picture of a ship flying a Turkish flag. Al-Intisar is a Libyan ship which is now in Istanbul, Turkey, which was in early September 2012 by the non-governmental organization Insani Yardum Vakfi and self-defined Islamic group. Al-Intisar docked at the Turkish airport of Alexandretta, a few kilometers from the Syrian province of Idlib, which lies at the heart of the civil war in Syria. a few days before the attack on Benghazi on the 6th of September 2012, it allegedly carried 400 tons of cargo, including heavy weapons such as SAMs and rocket launchers. According to the captain of the ship, a Libyan, there was a fight among these about these weapons between members of the Free Syrian Army and elements associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Free Syrian Army, that had been fighting for a year on the ground against Assad regime, it is she who was then providing the command structure, organizing multiple bands of wars and defected military units. Incidentally, the IHH, the Turkish Islamic NGO who was in charge of Al-Intisar, is prohibited by Israel since 2008. It worked in the service of the Muslim Brotherhood, close to Hamas, which is a faction of the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East. The Muslim Brotherhood, through their links with Turkey, Erdogan, tried to take control of the ship and its cargo, and fighting broke out in Alexandretta between the Brotherhood and the Free Syrian Army. Could this fight have been linked to the murder of Chris Stevens 5 days later? Interesting. Libya aid ship docks in Tripoli. And there it is in Tripoli. Same ship. According to a Fox News investigation, shipping records confirmed that the Al-Intisar docked at the Turkish port of Iskenderun on September the 6th. Iskenderun, or Alexandrette on the map below, is close to Idlib, where the Syrian civil war was raging there. Idlib, and they got a map. Some of it was humanitarian, but mostly was weapons. Then they got a picture of the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. Follow the money, guy says. If the ship with arms on board was being delivered, isn't it logical that money passed hands somewhere within a reasonable time of delivery? For your information, Jesse Jackson's half-brother, Noah Robinson, as in Michelle Robinson Obama, was involved in a Chicago street gang named El Rook that were converted to Islam in mass by Lewis F. Crimes include murder for hire, drugs, male and female prostitution, and running guns to Libya. Interesting, huh? You'll never see this. Oh, organized the same community that included the El Rook territory. Would you like to know who the agents were in the initial gun-running operation? It's not that common a crime for even a Chicago street gang. The Muslim Brotherhood, through its ties in Turkey, was seizing control of the ship and the cargo. That is what they do. They buy influence with their money and guns. And here's one from Who's Your Mama? These are all comments. The U.S. mission in Benghazi was participating in running weapons from Libya to Syria via Turkey. Then something went wrong at delivery. Free Syrian Army members fought elements of the Muslim Brotherhood over an important cargo. 5 days later, an American ambassador is dead and the annexed managed by the CIA is pillaged. Did Turkey and the Muslim Brotherhood command the Turkish diplomat and the terrorist group to help set up the assassination of Ambassador Stevens and the subsequent looting of the CIA annex, which contained plenty of weapons and plenty of cash? Question marks. Here's Who's Your Mama again. Abdul Hakim Belhaj. This man traveled often between Libya and Turkey before the attack. He is now head of the Military Council of Tripoli, but he was previously very closely associated with Al-Qaeda Belhaj. Fought as a mujahid in Afghanistan during the 1980s with the troops of bin Laden against the Red Army. He then founded a group of Islamic jihadists in Libya. He moved along Pakistan, Turkey, Sudan, Iraq, where he fought alongside Al-Qaeda's actual leader, al-Zarqawi. Yes, whom Bush killed. Bush killed al-Zarqawi. Oh, and speaking of killing al-Zarqawis, the communists in this country, namely the ACLU, they want justice for al-Awlaki because he was killed by a drone in Yemen, and he was an American citizen. And no, he wasn't. The day he took up arms against the United States, he lost his membership in the USA, and he was fair game. So don't play that U.S. citizenship crap with me. Yeah, Al-Awlaki, who convinced Major Hassan to go down and declare jihad in Fort Hood, and the victims can't even get paid combat pay. How's that? And you think this president's looking out for Americans, him and Eric the bag holder? Huh? You know, they tell you, one Border Patrol guard got killed. What's the big deal? You know, what does it matter? It wasn't one border guard. It's 100,000 Mexicans. That's who's being killed. And every time you light up a joint, you kill a Mexican. It's the drug trade. And the drug trade is part of a communist operation that was started in 1928 by Mao Zedong. And all the routes coming out of South America up through the United States, including John McCain's estate of Arizona, who John never did anything to stop the drug flow. What, a speech? Speeches don't stop bullets. Yep, that's how long the communists have been working to dope up our children. And now our children are all grown up, and the kids are learning from their parents how to do dope. And the government says, do more, and we're going to tax you 30%. It's for your own good. But get hooked first, because otherwise we don't want to make 30% on one sale. You got a mafia government. They're seizing your land. They're seizing your bank accounts. They go around fining any corporation they feel they're in the mood to fine. $25 million here, $50 million there. $15 billion for BP. That's all pocket money, man. You don't see that money. So, let's go back to Abdel Hakim Belhaj. Belhaj met with leaders of the Free Syrian Army in Istanbul, as well as on Syrian-Turkish border. In fact, it is Mustafa Abdel Jalil, an interim president of Libya, who sent him there. Belhaj was part of a Libyan delegation which proposed to send not only weapons but also Libyan fighters to Syria in order to support the insurrection. The new Libyan authorities offered money, arms, and men to uprising against the Assad regime. After chasing Gaddafi, hundreds of Libyan young men, still filled with revolutionary fervor, are eager to overthrow the dictator next. The CIA was also involved in this trade, CIA agents working in conjunction with Turkish intelligence agency Milli İstihbarat Teşkilatı, MIT. We got one in Massachusetts. Near the Turkish-Syrian border, organized arms deliveries to rebel groups in Syria. This is more than four dead Americans, my friends. There's much more. There's a lot of dirt to go around. People got blood on their hands. An effort against Gaddafi and now an active agent of the Libyan government. You think that Obama is as smart as Putin? Putin is backing Assad. Obama, going through the back door, thinks he's going to overthrow Assad. Putin knows Obama's every move. How does he know that, Tom? Because he's infiltrated the government. He doesn't need a Russian to do the job. If you read Red Cocaine, it'll tell you. In the 60s, Russian agents had 2,000 names of Latin American politicians, police, all drug users, all vulnerable to blackmail and exposure. And can you imagine what they have on Americans today? You think they said, oh, after the wall came down, tear up those lists, we're no longer playing bad guy? How about they got 20,000 names now, thanks to Eric Snowden. He is probably aware of the CIA annexing Benghazi, of the high value of its stock. We know he has been closely linked to Al-Qaeda. We also know that the group, which claimed responsibility for the attack of September 11th, 2012, Ansar al-Sharia, the terrorist group that plundered the stock of money and weapons to the annex of the CIA, is a front for Al-Qaeda. We also know that it is in contact with the leadership of the Free Syrian Army, the CIA, and the Turkish government. The one thing about dealing with foreigners for intelligence, they may be playing two ends against the middle. No mention of Noah Robinson in that one, trial, etc., but no mention of guns to Libya. See if anybody else has got anything to say. Thank you for an interesting report. Do you see the consulate attack as a Stevens kidnapping slash blind shake pre-election exchange scenario, a materials raid, or both? Was the attack on the annex an ongoing search for Stevens, retaliation for the resistance at the consulate? Early in the reportage, I recall the claim that one of the consulate security team was killed at the gate while pushing Smith out of the path of the gate-breaching vehicle. Is this confirmed? Something I am certain of. The reports of 30 personnel at the annex are accurate. They were not administrative staff and file clerks. We are talking serious people, outnumbered maybe 5-1. Anybody responsible for denying aid through either dereliction or design should be lined up against the nearest wall. Just called on Congressman and Senator with David Eubin's name, Islamic Turkey under Erdogan in league with the attackers, Hussein and Hillary-Huma allied with Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda against Americans. Surely the Director of Central Intelligence will get to the bottom of this. Or is John Brennan, the Muslim convert, already at the bottom smiling? John Brennan is no good. He is no good. And he is sympathetic to the religion of peace, a piece of you, a piece of me. So this is all from Free Republic in Fresno, California. I don't know their political persuasion. Sounds pretty pro-American to me. Let me see. It was reported that the Benghazi attack was a spontaneous. Yeah. And not only that, but the masked man rides with Tonto. Yeah. Dad of U.S. bodyguard blown up twice. Let's see what that's all about. That's NBC News. You can't believe anything they say. And there's the two phonies with their hands over their hearts as they bring the coffins back. And you know what? Hillary voted to burn the flag. Did you know that? Yeah, the Flag Desecration Act. They wanted to make it a law. She was against making it a law. She called it the freedom of speech. Burn that flag, baby. She's been burning flags since she went to communist cucumber school. President Barack Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Bloodclot Clinton told, hold their hands over their hearts. And NBC's got the picture. See, they're innocent. Look at them. It is terrible. Well, let's see. Here we go. David Eubin, a 31-year-old State Department employee, suffered broken bones and other injuries on the September 11th attack that killed U.S. ambassador to Libya and three other Americans. When you see that headline, the ambassador to Libya, and they usually mention his name and three other Americans, that is crap reporting. If you can say three other Americans, you can say Doherty and the two others. Smith, Doherty Smith, and Woods. If you can say three other Americans, that's three words. Doherty Smith and Woods are three words. As David Eubin recuperates at the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center outside Washington, his father, Rex Eubin, said he did not blame the State Department. He's trying to keep his son alive. He could die inside that medical center. He did not blame or Hillary Clinton for his son's injuries. But he added, I do find it troubling that they may not have owned up to their shortcomings in government, in the military, and in business. If somebody does something wrong, you admit it, correct it, and move on. If you were in charge, it was your fault. Hey, it's cowardice in the face of the enemy. And under Article 99 in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the top-ranking officer gets the firing squad. Who's the top? Well, the commander-in-chief. He says he's the top-ranking officer. But he couldn't be disturbed, just like Hitler couldn't be disturbed on D-Day. The administration is under more fire from Congress. Blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. John McCain, people don't bring mortars to spontaneous demonstrations. John, you're a very weak person. You should retire and go open up a Ted Kennedy souvenir shop. A Libyan man explains that bloodstains, remember the finger, the bloodstains on the column are from one of the American staff members injured on September 11th in the attack. So he was probably reached touching the column to just get his balance. And he was probably feigning weakness. In the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, on June the 6th, an improvised bomb was placed at the north gate of the Benghazi mission and blew a hole in the fence. Rex Eubin, 60, said he was a 24-year Air Force veteran who retired in 1995 as a master sergeant. He was based at various U.S. embassies since retiring. He has been a computer programmer for several banks. He said David Eubin described the violence as obviously an attack and not a riot, and stretched out what appeared to be a sophisticated mortar attack during the second wave of the assault that took place at another compound where U.S. and Libyan personnel retreated and resulted in the death of Doherty and Woods. What I wanted to know was whether the second part of the attack was pre-planned. The first mortar dropped 50 yards short, and the next two were right on target. This indicates to me that someone was either very good, highly trained, or skilled, or that mortar was already set up and pointed at the safe house, and only minor adjustments were needed. That's very possible. Thousands of Libyans stormed the headquarters of an Islamist militia group in Benghazi Friday night in a deadly exchange. Then the NBC reporter reports that Eubin also questioned why it took so long for his son to reach the hospital after the attack. There were five or six bones, one completely smashed, dusty operations, and shrapnel damage head to toe. I was surprised how many parts of him were injured. David Eubin is having a series of surgeries, and his father expects him to be hospitalized for several months. Rex Rubin said his son did not share many details of the attack. I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to whoever did the first aid at the time, the first time, the second time, and maintained the tourniquets until they could get him out of there. Rubin said he was bothered that people did not seem to realize that this was a much bigger disaster for the people of Libya than it was for us, that they were attacked just like we were. That's all very nice. Everything is hunky-dory. Okay. So now you know about David Rubin. And we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. As of July the 25th, 2013, he was still recovering in Walter Reed. If he should die from his wounds, you know, like the Godfather says, if some accident should befall him, yeah, then I'm not going to be very nice to anybody. It is really sad, my fellow Americans. It's really sad. Let us go find a tune. Let's find a tune. We'll give you a tune. Yes. President Obama, sir, where were you the night of Benghazi? Did you take any phone calls from dying men?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Mr. President, did you have anything to do with the murder of 100,000 Mexicans and gun running to narco terrorists in Mexico?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Mr. President, have you declared war on the U.S. military?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Mr. President, have you declared war on the Catholic Church?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Mr. President, are you using government agencies to intimidate people that don't agree with you?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Mr. President, how are your 25 czars doing, or is it grown to 50? Are you stealing cattle out there in Nevada with Harry Reid?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Mr. President, are you an American citizen?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
How come all your records are sealed and we can't find out your country of origin?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Why did you cut yourself in for a piece of the action in the medical field? Isn't it enough that you raided the Social Security and Medicare and took a senior citizen's money to build a computer, a network to register for health care, and you've already lost $500 million along with another $500 million at Solyndra?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Why do you hate us, Mr. President? Why do you hate the military? Why do you close the door on monuments and won't let the veterans visit the sick and the wounded? Why are you killing Americans in VA hospitals?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Why do you let children be murdered and slaughtered in this country at the rate of 4,700 a day, which totals 1,200,000 American babies that are cut to pieces every day in the United States? Why do you do that, Mr. President? Don't you believe in life?
You can't touch this. can't touch this.
Why does your party vote to burn the flag, and why did your party kick God out at the last convention?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Okay. I'll knock it off. Okay. Let me see if we got a virtuous song. What would that be? A virtuous song. You could never sing this song in Washington, D.C. Oh, I thought I would find it. Yeah, I'll find it. Here we go. You could never sing this song in Washington, D.C. They wouldn't approve of it.
I shall impersonate a man. Come, enter into my imagination and see him. Bony, hollow-faced, eyes that burn with the fire of inner vision. He conceives the strangest project ever imagined, to become a knight-errant and sally forth into the world righting all wrongs. His name, Don Quixote de la Mancha. Hear me now, the bleak and unbearable world, thou art base and debauched as can be. And the knight, with his banners all bravely unfurled, now hurls down his gauntlet for thee. I am I, Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. And the wild winds of fortune shall carry me onward, oh, whithersoever they blow. Whithersoever they blow.
And servants of sin, all your dastardly doings are past. For a holy endeavor is now to begin, and virtue shall triumph at last.
Thanks to all who serve, men, women, dedicated, duty, honor, and country, the finest that we have to offer. Thanks to all of those. And don't give up. Remember, you were trained to win, not to lose. If you are feeling suicidal, and you can't get to a VA hospital, get to a church. Get help. There are millions of people who will stop what they are doing to help you. So don't paint yourself into a dark corner. Get help. There's somebody who will listen to you and somebody who will help you. You got to find them, that's all. Go and sit down in a church and wait for God's call. We'll close with a tribute to one of the greatest of fighting units that has kept us free since 1776. go back to Vietnam when the communists were stronger in the United States than they were in Vietnam, and they spit on American troops and they demonstrated against them and called them murderers. And even a piece of crap like Bruce Springsteen sang a song, "We went to Nam to kill the yellow man." No, we didn't. We went to Nam to save the yellow man in the south of the land from being murdered by the communists in the north. And it was people back home that lost this war in Vietnam. They did the work of the communists, knowing or unknowing, that's what they did. There is a poem by Rudyard Kipling who describes the disdain that the British people have for their military, and it's called Tommy. Our guys are known as G.I. Joes. The Brits are known as Tommy. "I went into a public house to get a pint of beer. The publican up and says, 'We serve no redcoats here.' The girls behind the bar, they laughed and giggled fit to die. I outs into the street again, and to myself says I, 'Oh, it's Tommy this, and it's Tommy that, and Tommy go away. But it's thank you, Mr. Atkins, when the band begins to play. The band begins to play, my boys, the band begins to play. Oh, it's thank you, Mr. Atkins, when the band begins to play. I went into a theater as sober as could be. They gave a drunk civilian room, but had none for me. They sent me to the gallery or round the music halls, but when it comes to fighting, Lord, they'll shove me in the stalls. For it's Tommy this and Tommy that and Tommy wait outside, but it's special train for Atkins when the trooper's on the tide. The troop ship's on the tide, my boys, the troop ship's on the tide. Oh, it's a special train for Atkins when the trooper's on the tide." Yeah, that means he's shipping out. "Yes, making mock of uniforms that guard you while you sleep. It's cheaper than them uniforms and their starvation cheap. And hustling drunken soldiers when they're going large a bit is five times better business than parading in full kit. Then it's Tommy this and Tommy that and Tommy owes your soul. But it's thin red line of heroes when the drums begin to roll. The drums begin to roll, my boys, the drums begin to roll. Oh, it's thin red line of heroes when the drums begin to roll." We aren't no thin red heroes, nor we aren't no blackguards too, but single men in barracks most remarkable like you. And if sometimes our conduct isn't all your fancy paints, why, single men in barracks don't grow into plaster saints. "While it's Tommy this and Tommy that and Tommy fall behind, but it's please walk in front, sir, when there's trouble in the wind. There's trouble in the wind, my boys, there's trouble in the wind. Oh, it's please walk in front, sir, when there's trouble in the wind. You talk, oh, better food for us and schools and fires and all. We'll wait for extra rations if you treat us rationale. Don't mess about the cook room slops, but prove it to our face. The widow's uniform is not the soldier man's disgrace. For it's Tommy this and Tommy that, and chuck him out, the brute. But it's savior of his country when the guns begin to shoot. And it's Tommy this and Tommy that, and anything you please. And Tommy ain't a bloomin' fool. You bet that Tommy sees." Very good. It's a little tribute to the GIs. And it's been going on for centuries. Okay, we're going to say sayonara tonight. We'll give you a tune on the way out, the real short one, Auld Lang Syne. And once again, when you guys in trouble and you're feeling suicidal, get to somebody. Even if you got to walk into a doctor's office, you know, don't let somebody in the VA tell you come back in 2 weeks. Man, you got an acute problem. And you know what? God wants to help you. And when all else fails, then God will be there for you. And if you do fail, he will bring you home. He will bring you home and heal all your wounds. So we'll do Auld Lang Syne. Well, that's Dixie. Let me see. Auld Lang Syne.